I'm going to ask Dan back now to deal with some of the questions that have been submitted. We may not have time to do all of them, but Dan will sort of rattle through as many as he can in the next 10 minutes or so.
Okay, thanks for the questions. I'll try and answer some of them. Question one, are we witnessing the death of Christendom? Is that a good thing? Wow. So this is my personal opinion. It's interesting with John here, because I think John and I, earlier this week, were involved in a debate where I think Christians can have kind of different views on this and still be good friends. So I think the witness of death, I mean, Christendom is kind of twitching in the last stages of kind of, it's on life support. Although I would echo what I said earlier on, that I still think there is deep cultural values that we hold that still do show the influence of the gospel. And again, I think it's interesting that FIFA issue is one, and there are others as well. So I do think there is still an influence. I don't think it's a good thing personally, because I think God has made the world to work in a particular way, and we see if people don't live according to that, what happens. And so I don't think it's a good thing. And I think what I would like to see is people being converted. It's only through evangelism that hearts are changed. But then Christians, if they apply everything in every area of life, then that will make a difference societally. So in that sense, that's in my, whatever your view of what Christendom is, that's only my idea, that we take every thought captive for Christ. We're his ambassadors. We take over the dominion that Adam had, and that's what it is. So, we're in a very post-Christian situation, increasingly so. Now, two questions here, very helpful. Should we be encouraging each other to have non-Christian friends? Is there a line to be drawn in light of Scripture, like James 1:27? Religion that of our God that accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And also, I struggle to connect without it impacting me, e.g. reading the newspaper sometimes can infiltrate my mind with unhelpful things. For example, on the train to work, do I need to read the Metro to enable me to know what is going on in the world or culture, or read the Bible? Great question. In all of our connection, we still recognize that we are called to be separate, and that is important. That separation, though, is not about us kind of in a holy huddle never meeting Christians. I live in a Christian community. Let me say that sin is still very alive and well in the hearts of people at training at seminary and Bible college. Because you know what? Sin is not just about in things out there. Sin is in here. And so, yes, we think we can remove ourselves, but that has sometimes quite a simplistic view of sin. Having said that, though, of course, we're not to be a stumbling block. And of course, there are limits. I had some of you will resonate with this, some of you won't. I had a student on my cultural analysis course who wanted to do a kind of a book review of 50 Shades of Grey. I don't think that was particularly appropriate for them to do that. And so I do think there are limits. One does not have to sometimes watch or look at things to be able to comment on them, though. And I do think that's important. I just think I look at Jesus at the woman at the well, or I look at how Paul engages in Acts, and I just think, yes, there is, you know, a love for the lost means being able to relate to the lost and having the lost as friends, even though we can say hard things. But of course, moral purity, doctrinal purity is crucial. And I know, you know, again, this was a thing that John and I echoed in this thing we did earlier on in the week. One of the great witnesses that we need to stress is the doctrinal and moral purity of the church. And that means that being church is important, and that we are not living according to the world. And you know what? People who are hopeless and rootless, it's great if they can look into the church and they can see people who are loving the Lord, who love each other, respect each other. Yes, sometimes have to exhort each other and rebuke each other. If our churches are dysfunctional, and that includes kind of moral dysfunction, people who have got dysfunctional lives, why would they want to change one dysfunction for another? but people who can look in and see the witness of a Christian community and a loving community and a holy community. I think that's very attractive. So yeah, we're not to be stumbling blocks. But I think the issue is, I suppose the final thing I'd say is something to reiterate what I said this morning. Satan is very subtle. Sin is very subtle. And if you think that you're knocking out kind of, okay, I'm, which you might be right, I'm not going to watch this on television. I'm not going to read this. And it can be quite obvious things. And they're good things that we should not be, they're good things that we're not watching. But there's all kinds of other issues that are more subtle that we kind of maybe drink in that we don't realize. Again, that's why that Jerry Bridges book, isn't it? Respectable Sins talks about things that sometimes we wouldn't class as sin, but can be. And so if we're to keep ourselves from idols, I do think it is knowing what those idols are and how it affects us. I know lots of churches where I think probably this issue of overwork, the stress on the family, they're problems for Christians in churches. Education, the education of children. Don't think that, you know, our churches are immune from those issues. They're all big issues that we need to be tackling with. How do you help your child being taught the secular agenda at school? And this has been really hard for me. So all of our children have gone to the local schools, and I think it's hard. I think it's realizing that you're having to do quite a lot of detoxification of stuff they're learning. It's knowing what your kids are doing at school. In my experience, we've had some issues at our school, especially in terms of sex education, where the school has put things on. And do you know what? A lot of teachers don't know what's going on. They're desperate for material, and other agencies use that. And sometimes it's more cock-up than conspiracy. And so just knowing what the kids are doing. And so there's a few times when there's been, especially on the equality issue to do with bullying and homophobic bullying, there have been, I think, more ulterior motives in some of the places, some of the organizations that have been involved there. And that's where we've got involved, and we've pulled our kids out of some of the sex education stuff in Barnet, because there's a very strong ideological thing. I mean, I think increasingly it's going to be an issue. And you know, I think I'm positive about people who want to do Christian schooling. I think that can be a good thing as well. So I think teaching your children well at home is important in the church, but yeah, being aware of what's going on and just then being able to engage with your kids about that in a kind of normal way. In my experience, a lot of parents don't, and this isn't Christian parents, but a lot of parents don't really know what their kids do. They don't really care. But to have that kind of relationship and to say what have you been doing today, that's a good thing to talk about. But yeah, I think it is tough, because I think our minds are shaped by those cultural trends, but it can be an opportunity then to engage. This would be true for some of us. One of the biggest struggles I have engaging with people is the lack of energy and time. Life is so busy and pressured in and outside of work. By the time I have free time, all I want to do is sleep. This is my question. I realise the importance of sharing Christ, and I really want to do it more. But in order to be more effective, I need to spend time myself in the Word and spending time with people. But I have little time to do this. Is there any solution? Well, I think going through those questions and seeing whether work has just become too much, and are we doing it? Is that the sacrifice we're having to make for work? Would be one thing. I think, yeah, of course, we want to spend time with the Lord in the Word with other Christians, and that's absolutely important. I don't think it's what I'm trying to say in all of this. It's not kind of, okay, I have to do my half an hour of evangelism today. It is that our whole lives are being evangelistic at work, at home, when we go down the shops, everything that we're doing, we're taking opportunities that there might be. And you don't only have to tick the evangelism box if you say, I've talked to this person about sin, God, the cross, wrath, hell. Yeah. That, you know, in that book by Greg Kuchel, Tactics, he just talks about what we're trying to do sometimes is put a stone in someone's shoe and get them to walk around in it. And they'll find it very uncomfortable, and then you have an opportunity to say more. Of course, sometimes we have an opportunity where we think this person may never hear the gospel again, and we say everything then, but this is a wisdom issue. especially when it comes to friends and family, we've got a long time with these people, yeah? And so we need to build away. Sometimes we need to chip away. So I think just, you know, our vision of what we think evangelism is, that's one thing. And sometimes you never know, a conversation that starts with you, 10 years down the line, you hear that that conversation started someone and now they've become a Christian. Praise God. That's how God works. One more. Okay. It's a quite a long question. It was all about intergenerationally. It was someone from a younger person saying their grandparents or parents are involved in culture, popular culture, but sometimes they might do it in quite a naff way. And how do we deal with that? I think it's good that we're all understanding what's going on. Of course, sometimes it's good that young people can reach young people, and that might be a kind of the most appropriate way. But you can't then say that one group can never speak to a grown group. This is the whole thing about the sexuality issue at the moment, is that I don't want to get us to the stage where it's only Christians who suffer same-sex, who have to deal with same-sex attraction. They're the only Christians who can speak on the issue. And because I'm a white married male with 7 kids, I can't speak into the situation. Because then, I mean, that becomes a little bit ridiculous, because then, you know, Daniel can't speak on people who have 5 kids because he's got 7. You know, it comes kind of so narrow. So we have to be able to speak into the situation. But then it's great to know that people who are of a similar age can share the gospel, and that there is a plausibility issue there. But I hope there can be great Christian unity and intergenerational unity as we all together try to understand our world. And I think that's important.